Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 43. I want to preach tonight for a few moments on what I call more of the perfections of God. More of the perfections of God. We as Christians, of course, do not claim to be perfect or sinless. But if it be possible, we do desire to sin less. Am I correct? Or we want to be like our Father. We are not trying to see how much like the world we can be and still be classified as Christians. But we're interested in seeing how much like Christ we can be and still live in this world. In these verses that I'll read in your hearing tonight, Jesus sets forth a high standard of living. The possibility, yea, even the command to be like your Father. It is not an option, nor is it a choice. And we would call it the God life. I want to live on a higher plane, don't you? I believe that's why God saved me, so I won't have to live like I used to live. That's why I believe He's given me His Word and His Spirit and a place and an invitation to worship Him so that I won't have to live like I used to live. That each day I could move on up to a higher plane than what I was the day before. Being like my Father. I'm interested in living not the human life, but the God life in this world. Living like God. Let's look at this text. He said in verse number 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now that's a pretty good philosophy of life. You could live like that, and if you passed away, folks would come to your funeral and they'd pass by your body and they'd say, I'll just tell you right now, he's a good neighbor. I remember he got up and went to work every day and earned money to feed his children. And I'll tell you, everybody's good to him, he's good to them. People think well of you if you live on that level. And Jesus said, you've heard that's what you're supposed to do, love your neighbor. Sounds pretty good. Pretty good level to live on. Be good to your neighbors and treat people good that's good to you. Love your family. And if you're going to hate anybody, just find you an enemy somewhere. I mean, don't hate nobody that's good to you. People won't speak well of you if you do that. But now if you'll just classify and find you somebody that ain't too good, and other people don't think a whole lot of them, you just lower the boom on them, you get along pretty good. That's what he said, wasn't it? Love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Isn't it amazing? Just when you think you've got life figured out, Jesus comes along and messes it up. But I say unto you, look at this. I'm talking about a higher plane of living. If you think this here doesn't set a high standard, but I say unto you, love your... Now, if he'd have said, put up with them, or if he'd have said, sort of like them, but he said, love your... What? Did I read that verse right? Will somebody tell me what that next word is? Enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a little rough right there. I don't know about you. But I reckon he meant it. I used to, you know, I got saved. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I began to read it and I thought you were supposed to live by it. Verse 45, that ye may be, not that ye may become now, but that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Well, that's not Republicans, that's publicans. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And here he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I'm interested in that little word more. I'm emphasizing more of the perfections of God or more of the God life. I get tired of just acting and reacting and responding in the natural way, humanly speaking. I desire a plane of living and a level that this world doesn't know anything about. It is being so much like your Father, it is actually the God life, if it is possible, as His children. Now, there are two things that I want to say to you concerning this thought of being more like your Father. More of this God life. First of all, I would point out to you from our text that the more of the God life, more of the perfections of God, more of the being like your Father has to do with our hearing. Jesus emphasizes that throughout the text. He lets us know that the problem with these religious folks in that hour, and the problem is the same today, it's what we're listening to. It is our listening that has such a bearing and such an effect upon our behavior. It determines how we react and how we respond. It's what we've heard, it's what we've been told that we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to do. And because of that, again, it affects our behavior. The young boy back in the hills of West Virginia, about 9, 10 years old, one day I was coming down from behind the house. I'd been up to a friend of mine. He and I was coming down a little path, trail down to the house. My dad, he was heading on down to the road, another little trail on the other side of the house there. In West Virginia, you have to understand, you're either going uphill or downhill, no matter where you're going. And he had purchased, the first that I've known anything about, what was called a pressure cooker. And you ladies may still use them. And so as he was heading down to the road, going up to the country store, he hollered back at me. And what I thought he said was, be sure and take the lid off the pressure cooker. Well, I was just playing around, frolicking, not paying a lot of attention. I said, what? And I thought he said it again. Be sure and take the lid off the pressure cooker. Me and my buddy went into the kitchen, and you know how them things have them little weights on them, and they just spitting and sputtering, all that steam shooting out. And I looked at him, I said, if we don't get the lid off from her, she's going to blow. So, Brother Ken, I grabbed that thing with all the strength of a 10, 11-year-old boy. I popped her. So, boom! We had soup, but it wasn't in a bowl. My dad heard it. He ran all the way back up to the house. He wasn't a Christian. I can't tell you what he said. But you see, what I thought I heard, what went into my ears, what I perceived, affected how I acted in the situation. The reason why people are living on the level that they are living on is because they're getting their information from this world and from the lower levels of life, and it is affecting them, and they're saying, well, I can live the alternate lifestyle, and I can live this way. It's okay because I've been told it's okay. And you're listening to the wrong source. Notice what he said in the text. He said, the reason why you're not living on the level of your father, he said, verse 21, ye have heard. You're getting second-hand information, buddy. How do you know? What you've heard is so. That's all we're getting in this world, second-hand information. I'll be glad when the election's over. That's all we get, second-hand information. Everybody thinks they know everything about both of the candidates because ye have heard. Okay, and he said in verse 27 again, he said, here's the problem, ye have heard. Who told you that? Where are you getting your sources from? What voice is setting the standard of your life and telling you how to live? Are you speaking to yourself? Has someone else told you that? Verse 31. It has been said. Oh, that one's been around a long time. Must be true. 33. Again, ye have heard. There is no shortage of low-level living information. Turn your TV on. You'll find it. Turn your radio on. Everybody will give you their opinion as if it is fact. We have heard it said again and again and again and again. And look where we're living. A lot of that's coming from behind the pulpit. You need to thank God for the man you've got here. You don't come here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, listen to what ye have heard, what they, it hath been said, and ye have heard again. I'm tired of that junk. I like the old lady about 80 years old, went to the doctor, she couldn't hear good, and the kids took her. The doctor examined her, and he come out, and he said, ma'am, you do have a problem. But don't worry about it. I think we can fix it, so we'll set it up, and we'll have surgery. And she whipped around and looked at him, and she said, sir, I just want you to know, there ain't going to be no surgery, because I'm 80 years old, and I've heard enough. Well, I'm telling you, I've heard enough what they got to say, whoever they are. You never can get to the root of the information anyway. You ever listen to the news media, how they always say sources close to the situation have told us. Well, who are the sources? I'd like to know. I'd rather go on with the phrase that says, consider the source. When somebody tells you something, consider the source. Jesus said, you're in a mess. You're killing one another. You're full of bitterness and hatefulness and envy and jealousy because of what you heard and what they said. You're listening to the rumors. That's why you're jerking the lid off the pressure cooker. Your listening will affect your behavior. Sure will. By the way, you can tell that in the average Baptist church too. And somebody besides the Lord is doing the talking. You can feel it when you come in. Telephone calls and all that other stuff. So I know y'all don't have that problem down here in Georgia. But they are around. First thing Monday morning, what do you think of the server? What do you think? Well, who cares? You know what I heard, don't you? Who cares? You know what they're saying, don't you? Who cares? Did you hear what they said? Well, would you tell us who they are? He said, I'm going to tell you the reason why you're not living like your father is because of what you've been listening to. You got the wrong source. Your listening has affected your behavior. And you're not living on the level you need to. But he not only emphasizes in this thing of hearing that listening affects our behavior, but I notice in our text that he lets us know that the problem in this listening area is that there is actually a language barrier. You see, they are listening to all of these other channels of information. But they're not listening to all of these false channels of information because truth's not there. Truth is there. I'm glad God's still speaking for those that want to hear Him. The problem has never been He's not speaking. The problem is folks just cannot hear. And Jesus said on several occasions, you have ears to hear, but you hear not. Paul talked about those who could not discern the Spirit. It is not this ear and this ear that it counts, but the question is, do you have the third ear of the soul and of the Spirit? Can you hear when God does speak? He said, ye have heard what they have said. You've listened to all of that. But He said, I want you to know something. I've been talking too. But you can't hear what I've got to say. You can't hear what I've got to say. You know, they tell us, I read, scientists tell us that the human ear is only able to perceive and hear 9 octaves of sound. That's every 8th note 9 times. Beyond those ranges, the human ear cannot perceive. That's why dogs can hear little sounds and squeals and things, and it'll shock it, but not you, because you don't hear what it's hearing. They say that frogs croak in such a deep voice that the majority of the sounds of frogs, thank God, we can't hear. But if you hear the sound of a frog, you're hearing him at his highest point. And they say also that birds that chirp, that we hear, they chirp in such a high tone that if you hear a bird chirp, you're hearing that bird chirp at its lowest point. Because anything above it or below it, you cannot hear. God has a voice. But it cannot be heard with the human ear. It's beyond, way beyond the 9 octaves. It enters into the divine realm. But I'm glad that 35 years ago, as a 15-year-old boy, that I first heard the Word of God, the voice of God, and I've been hearing that voice ever since. And it is that voice that has set the standard for my living. It's a language barrier. There's folks all in this congregation tonight. There's and was here yesterday morning and last night, but never heard a thing other than just human voices and sounds. And that's why they went out here and they said, you know, that's silly, that's crazy. They're just going overboard. You just heard the human sounds. You couldn't go beyond the 9 octaves. If all you heard tonight was the singing up here, you never got beyond the 9 octaves. Because the Holy Ghost on the outside of them 9 octaves, He only uses them 9 octaves to take you to His voice. And if all you hear is a sermon tonight, you've not heard the voice of God. Well, look at it. It's still in our text. He said, the problem is not that I'm not speaking. Look in verse 22. He said, but I say unto you. The question is, would you rather listen to the rumors or can you receive the revelation? Are you going to base your life on what they said? Or are you going to let my living word abide in you and take you to a higher plane of living, a living word of God that took me from a hell-bound sinner who knew nothing about God, birthed in me a new way and a higher level of living? And I don't live like I live today because of some human teaching. I live it because I have heard what He has said about the matter. He spoke truth into me, and that truth lives in me. He said in verse 22, but I say unto you, aren't you glad for the times when God says unto you? You're confronted with an issue or a situation in life. And as a child of God, you want to hear what heaven has to say about it. And then the Lord shows up and says, but I say unto you. I love those phrases in Elijah's life where the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him. That book's just nothing but black on white until it comes to you. And when it comes to you, it becomes living word. It becomes life. And he said in verse number 28, but I say unto you. Verse 32, but I say unto you. Verse 34, but I say unto you. Verse 39, but I say unto you. Verse 44, he said, I'm here and I'm telling you, I'm speaking. I'm glad the Lord's speaking, aren't you? It'll determine how you live and upon what level that you live on. And the majority of this world is living on a level that has never heard what Jesus had to say about anything. They have no ears to hear, no heart to receive, and how sad it is. I want to live on that higher plane. I want the God life. If I can't have the God life, I just might as well live the life I lived before. But that's what I got saved for. I wanted a new life. And He gave me a new life that took me to a higher plane. But He said, you know, this higher plane of living has to do with your hearing. Don't ever take this word. Don't ever come in here and just take it for granted. Let Him breathe and speak on your heart, because it is what is going to determine how you react and respond and the level you live on by this time tomorrow when the circumstances and situations arise in your life and the Word of God breathes into your soul and says, here, this is the way. Walk ye there. But I say unto you, the neighbor may say one thing, somebody will slip up at the job and say another thing, the devil will get on your shoulder like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, he'll speak. But just let him rattle and wait on the voice. and wait on the Son of God to say, but I say unto you. That'll take you to a higher plane. But, my second and last thought, not only does this more of the perfections of God, being more like your Father, this higher plane of living, this God-like, not only does it have all to do with our hearing, but it has everything to do with our heritage. Did you notice that in verse number 45? You see, your heritage, even in the physical sense, determines so much about who you are. Kinship will always determine kind. You understand what I'm saying? Let me illustrate that. I was born a Williams. That's because my daddy was a Williams. And the reason why I know that I'm one is because the older I get, every time I pass by a mirror, I think I'm seeing my daddy. Yeah. And there's several characteristics about those Williamses that is just evident that everybody sees me that knows anybody, any of the Williamses in my family, they know we're kin. Because all those on my side of the family are short and fat and a few other things. It's none of your business. I inherited that through the DNA, the genetics. It came down through kinship. So tonight the easiest thing in the world for me to be, I can't help it. Excuse me. But I'm a Williams. It's easy to be a Williams. My wife will tell me sometimes, she'll say, honey, you're acting just like your daddy. And I'll say, well, who do you expect me to act like, your mama? I mean, my father's blood flows through my veins. I have those genetics which determine so much of the sound of my voice sounds much like his. The height and all many other features are a lot like his because he's my father. And on the flip side of that, the hardest thing in the world for me to be would be to come here and to try to be a bowman. See? Or a hall. You could tell right away I was being fake. There's some, the thing that I love about Christians and especially preachers is if God gives each one so many, each one has just such a different flavor. And your pastor has many preachers that come through here that are God's men, but they're all different. But there's something special about them, Brother Ken, that I'll notice, and I said, boy, I wish I could do that. I just wish I could be like that. Brother Ken bubbles all the time. Wipes tears and slings snot and all the rest of it. And when I see him do that, I said, boy, I wish I could just flow. I just wish I could do that. But if I tried that for 5 minutes, you would say, you know who he's acting like? Have you noticed who he's acting like? He's acting like Brother Ken. You see? Because I'd be just so out of step. I mean, I'm not tall enough. I don't have the actions enough for anybody else. I mean, I'm just me. And it'd be so hard to be you. And Jesus is saying, all the world that I'm telling you to do, it ain't hard. Just be like your daddy, your father. use that preacher, it's the hardest thing in the world to live the Christian life. Is that right? You may not have the right DNA. Oh, I don't like to hear folks complain. I just don't feel comfortable in that atmosphere. Is that right? I've always felt comfortable at home. I mean, when you walk, it ought to... Have you heard it said? They'll say to a young man, as long as you're living, your daddy will never die. So look at him. He walks just like his daddy. Watch his eyes. They move just like his daddy. You hear it in his voice. Oftentimes when Stephen was at home, people would call. I'd answer the phone and they'd say, Stephen. I'd say, no, this is Dad. The voice is so much alive. And I'd have had to practice not to sound like him, and he's the same with me. It just comes natural. And Jesus said, this how I pay the living ain't as hard as what you think it is. He said, just let the genetics take over. You're just fighting the attributes. You got the right kind of father, ain't you? He said, now all this business of what you've heard, what everybody else has told you, it shouldn't have a lot of effect on you because, you see, you're born of your father with life from above in the God's family divine. And I don't care how much you tell me about how much taller I ought to be. I can't be no taller. I got that from my dad. Huh? And if you're always being pulled to this world and what everybody else has got to say, and it's easy for you to mold into every situation that comes your way, it may be that you don't have that force and that power on the inside that determines who you are. He said it's in the heritage. I don't know... How many of you around here have heard Ed Ballou preach? I'm sure you've heard of him. Old preacher back up there. But Chattanooga area, a fellow I preach for up there every year. He works on Brother Ed's computers. And he asked me one day, I was preaching for him, he said, I got to go up and work on Brother Ed's computer. You want to go with me? I said, yeah, I'd love to go. So get up, Brother Ed's about 80, you know, and boy, what a war horse of a preacher. For years and years. But he could so spell down you with his stories of experiences that applied to the sermon. He'd keep you on the edge of your seat. Well, he's that way when he's talking to you. Like an old fox hunter. He'd just give it to you just like it was. And so we sat around and he just began to reminisce and to share with me. And I was soaking it up and he said, Preacher, I want to tell you about when I was a little boy. He said, my dad, he was a full-blooded Indian, but he was a moonshiner, made white lightning back up on them Georgia mountains. And he said, there's another fellow in that area that also made moonshine, and they got crossed up one with another and fell out, become Indians. And he said, one day, me and my mom, dad, me just a little old boy, we stopped at a tavern, a beer joint on the side of the road, was in there a while, and said, we come back out. He said, that other man that made moonshine come running out of the woods with his brother toward my daddy like he was going to harm him. He said, my daddy hollered at my mom and said, get that glove compartment open and get me that gun out of there. And said she got the gun out and pitched it to him just in time. He whirled around and he fired at the other guy that made moonshine. Said he hit him in the hip and the guy went down. Ed said, my daddy run right up over top of him and kept pulling the trigger, but he said there wasn't no more bullets in it. He run back to the truck to get some more bullets. Said while he did, the other moonshiner's brother got him up and they run back into the woods. Ed said, long story short, I got saved. He got saved when he was up in his later teens. God called him to preach. He said, my daddy got gloriously saved, the deacon and the teacher of one of them churches. And he said, one day we was working on a truck. And he said, we needed a part, and we decided to go down where they worked on it and sold parts. And said, when we walked into that building, said, I looked across the room there, and he said, a man come a-walking across the room with a rag in his hand, like he was a-wiping grease, and he had a limp. He was a-walking like that. Ed said, I was about 20 or 21 years old, but he said, I remembered him just like that. And he said, I thought to myself, oh my God, that's that man Daddy shot. They hadn't seen each other in 15 years. He said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And he said, that man walked up, that rag in his hand, said he stopped. And he said, he looked my daddy right in the eye. And he said, Mr. Ballou, since the last time I saw you, I got saved. Said, my daddy threw his hands up in the air and called his name and said, yeah. And since the last time I saw you, I got saved. He said, two old moonshiners who 15 years ago tried to kill each other and hated each other was a dancing around in a parts store, a hugging and a crying and a praising God. Somebody said, what made the difference? I tell you, they got a new father that's born of the Spirit of God and the attributes of a heavenly father, the divine love, flowed through them one to another and took them to a higher plane. I don't know about you, but that's the level I want to live on. I want my father to live through me. And he said, this heritage, he said, just let me show you how your father would have done it. Look at it, verse 45. He said, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He said, your father don't know anything about this hate business, enemy business. Aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father let the sun shine on the evil and the good? Because, honey, there were many days in my evil that the sun shined on me. You see, your Father doesn't operate off of merit. He operates off of mercy. He said, that's the Spirit of your Father. That's what ought to be flowing through you. And he goes on to say, it rains upon the just as well as the unjust. Aren't you glad that God let it rain on your soul in days of which you were unjust? For God showed you favor. He said, this is the way your Father does it. And this higher level and higher plane of living not only has to do with your hearing, but it has to do with your heritage. Are you born of the Spirit of God? Do you have His blood flowing through your veins? If you do, it will dictate how you live. How do you respond and how you react? The bitterness and the vileness and the envy and the hatred and the anger and the backbiting and the jealousy and all those other things. The Spirit of your Father will deal with that. Now, I've preached here enough for you to know a little bit about my background, but you know, I was born. My dad was alcoholic all his days. He owned a beer joint in the pool hall, and even when he didn't, that's where he went all the time. When my brother's much older than me, I was the youngest in the family, that's where they went, and so that's where I was, the atmosphere I was raised up in. I can remember those days of the ballroom brawl, is what they called it. Fight breakout. Well, I just a little kid, and I soon learned that the best place for me to be was under the pool table. So when I heard the commotion going on, located it, first thing I do, crawl under the pool table till it calmed down just a little bit. When it did, I'd come crawling. But you know what amazed me so many times? It's the same two guys that were fighting when I crawled under the table were sitting at the bar buying each other a drink when I crawled out. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Let me wipe that off here. Set him up. I'm telling you the truth. And then I got saved and joined the Baptist church. Tension lasts a little longer than what you can crawl under a pool table and get back out. I'll tell you that. Jealousy or bitterness or anger or malice breaks out in the church, honey, it'll last forever almost. So I come to the conclusion, I'd a whole lot rather be in the barroom brawl than I would a Baptist church that can't get along with one another. Your pastor knows all about that. I'm going to tell you, you know what? When the preacher says, all right, everybody shake hands. Let's have a time of fellowship. He ain't wasting time. He's finding out who's got all against one another. I can tell where the cliques are in any church if I'm standing up here when they say shake hands. I can tell who you've got all against and you just don't like. Everybody shake hands. And you're the preacher. He's dumb as what you think he is. He's up here watching. And here's where it goes. You say, oh, how you doing, brother, my boy? It's good to see you, buddy. I love you. Didn't say that, day. Hey, brother, I tell you what. I appreciate that mail. That was good. Huh? He knows where it's at. Eating like a cancer. Huh? Jesus said, I didn't save you to act like that. Your father didn't give you that spirit. Oh. Don't you want to live on a high level? Above all that childishness and worldliness. See, truth of the matter is, Jesus never gave us any excuse for acting like that. None. You say, well, but preacher, you just don't know what she said to me. And what I heard that she, well, you're getting back to that I heard, aren't you? I wonder what they did to Jesus. How did he act when he hung on the cross? He said, Father, would you forgive him? Here's the truth of the matter. If you will allow yourself to have one enemy, one person to dislike or one person to hate, and somebody said, well, preacher, you know, I don't hate anybody. Well, I mean, he didn't word it that way. He said, love your enemy. That's a higher plane. Don't slide by that and say, well, I get along with everybody. He didn't say get along with everybody. Huh? He said, go down there on the job tomorrow and walk up to that foreman that cussed you out yesterday and threatened to fire you and gave your job to somebody else and love him. He didn't say, act like you love him. You can't do that unless you've got royal blood flowing through your veins. Dislike or mark somebody off your list, then there's a possibility if you can hate or dislike or have envy or jealousy toward one person, you reckon you could find another person? In this, there's two people. You reckon in this big old town of Bowden that there might be three people you might not like? And in this whole county, what county are we in? You reckon in this whole Carroll County there could be possible four people? It may even develop into a little group you don't like. The day may come, and it will come, because you see, again, it is like a cancer, that when you tally it all up, there's more people you don't like than you do like. And then when you get old and gray-headed, and you're sitting down at the table looking across the table at a woman that you've been married to 60 years and you don't even like her.
You're right.
You're
telling the truth.
You know, there's other levels to live on. You don't have to live on this level of the God life. You can live by what other people say, how you feel, and just say, well, I was raised that way, my uncle was that way, my grandpa was that way, and that's just the way I am. Well, stupid. You see what it did to them? What do you think it's going to do to you? You see the level they lived on, what they had to put up with, and how they died? I don't want that kind of spirit when I leave this world. I want to leave this world with a heart filled with peace and joy and happiness and love and people around me that I love and not that one person I've always hated because I allowed myself to hate. Now we plow deep, but we're going high. But you know, there's other levels to live on. Did you notice this? I'll close with it. Look at it there. There's the more that you can live on in verse number 47, more of this God life. But notice what he said in verse 46. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even. You can live on that even level. You know what that even level is? Don't you? That's the same. Jehovah's Witnesses live on that level. The Muslims live on that level. Even. Well, I just do even like he did. I mean, what he done to me, I done to him. I just even with everybody, preacher. I'm just even. Even Stevens. Well, what happens when somebody ain't even? What happens when they shortchange you? That's what happens in life a lot of times, you know. That's when all hell breaks loose. I'm day one. Now, I treat everybody even now. You know, I'll treat you even, you treat me even. But now, you're going to shortchange me. Ain't going to be some trouble. Yeah. And that's why we go through life with trouble all the time. We've got somebody we're against because they wasn't even. Yeah. Got to force everybody to be even. Our children got to be even. Our wife's got to be even. Got to be even. Let's have this thing 50-50. And if it ain't 50-50, I'm mad. Yeah. Is that the level you got to live on? If we ain't going to have this marriage 50-50, we just going to break it up. I'm not having a 70-30. Well, you're always going to think you're on the lower end. You're always going to be mad and vile and not be able to enjoy life. Because you want everybody to be even with you. Oh, you're a pretty good fella. You're going to be even. You got principle. You'll always be even. But you're going around tighter than a banjo string this morning. Just waiting for that one person and ain't going to be even. Well, I liked that church down there and I went down there and joined. And I tell you, everything seemed to be all right and everybody loved one another. Then they called on her to sing when it was my turn. And I ain't going back. Woo! That's that even stuff. It'll bring the devil out of you. He said, your father don't operate on that even stuff. He sent you rain when you didn't deserve rain. He gave you sunshine when you didn't deserve sunshine. It ain't 50-50 with you and him, honey. It's all him. Even. Let's be even. I like that church down there because everybody's even. Well, you're fixing to get in trouble. You tell the way you talk, you've easily crossed up. You won't be around long. Life ain't fair. But you can live on that even level. And he said, verse number 46, do not even the publicans the same. Live on that same level. Well, you know, that's the way everybody else does it. That's the way I do it. I just do it the same as everybody else. I don't stand out. I mean, I don't get no... I just do it the same. That's what I like about this church. Nothing's ever the same. Amen. That's what I like about God. He never does anything the same. That's what I like about the Christian life. It's never the same. He said you can live on that level. Yep. And then he said in verse 47, if you salute your brethren only, that only level. Huh? Got that only crowd. Got your little sect over here. Only. Well, we would let them in, but only, you know, we just only have certain only. Well, what's so special about you? Salute, he said, salute means to welcome. You welcome your brethren only. Oh, come on in, only. Well, and he said, what do you more than others? I'm interested in more. I don't want to be. I think the Buddhist can do just as well as the Baptist if you take God out of it. There ain't no difference between Jehovah's Witness and Baptist or anybody else. You take God out of it. If you're going to live on the level that they live on, there ain't no difference. You say, well, preacher, I tell you what, I went up there, bless God, I give him a piece of my mind, and I told him off! Well, if he acted that bad, he pretty well expected you to do that. Because he's been done that way several times. A lot of people have cussed him out. And he probably deserved it. But I wonder how many people had come up to him and say, I just want you to know God loves you. And I love you. And he died for you. And he wants to save you. That's a little higher level, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. Here's the sad note. You know as well as I do. You die like you live. When you live on the level of this even and only and others and same crowd, what's going to happen? You're going to get old. Might as well face it. Our young is going to put us in a rest home somewhere. We'll be lucky to get that, hopefully. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't been a perfect dad. I sure haven't. So I don't want my kids responding to me on the level of this even, only, same, and others. Because if they do, I'm going to have trouble in my old age. See, your kids are watching how you live. And that sort of drifts down to them because they heard what you said. And then when you get old, they're going to come and treat you on this lower level. Oh, it'll be all right. I mean, it's the way you treated everybody else. I mean, they're just going to respond the same way. But it could be that amidst all your imperfections, at some place in your life, they stopped. And they said in their heart, I think I saw God in my daddy today, or in my mama. Edith didn't respond like normal. Have you ever had someone react or respond in a certain way and you said to yourself, that had to be God to let them live on that level? I'm going to tell you, we saw that tonight. Most those that know Brother Keith's life know of the tragedy of his life. But, oh, that was a, Brother Keith, that was a high level of living there, buddy. That was God. And I sort of want my children to treat me on that higher plane. I'd like to see the God life shine out of them toward me, wouldn't you? What is that song? I want to live above the world. Is it higher plane? I bet you don't have that song, but then. I want to live on a higher plane, don't you? I want God to live through me. More of the God life.